All right. So, the last time that we were doing our last we're doing the first episode for the season. We were talking about AEW, and I kind of, said I want to work, I want to talk about the MCU today, but I'm still kind of like hung on some things because some things have happened within the last couple of days from that episode from the podcast that we had, and now we have a new one with Dad Dad. So hopefully a lot of people do enjoy listening to that. That story is just really good and funny. So hopefully a lot of people like it. But just finishing up, just talking about like with the latest things that happened with AEW. A lot of people still online, the presence, this thing with with everybody that's only list, so only watched WWE content. There's a large number of them. They have a problem with change. And they really do. I have no issue with being able to like, enjoy, more than one thing. And I don't understand why that's so hard to do. Like, I don't get like too crazy about like getting on my friends for not, watching something else. I get it. You like what you like, but the content, when it's trash, it's trash. And when I know that my friends are not watching Raw for 3 hours, and half the time not even watching SmackDown, there's a problem. There's an issue at some point. I don't think there's anything wrong with us having a conversation about it. I don't think that's an issue at all. Look, you know that you like what you like, but I just like my friends, just letting them know like there's other wrestling options out there. Hell, I'm even wanting to like watch some of the stuff that I've seen that's like small arena type shit. Some guys I've seen put on some really good performances just in like these little small like wrestling promotions that are not anywhere near, New Japan and, ROH and all these guys and Impact. They're nowhere near this, but they have this beautiful setup that they have within their own local area, and they have a network of their own, and it's crazy just at how much wrestling is out there. And yes, to any of my listeners today, you guys are going to hear a little bit of some NBA in the background. So, we are playing some 2K here, and we're also live on Twitch as well. If you guys are listening, and you have been checking out the podcast, please also come check us out. I said DLP the Prince, Nerd Rage at Twitch. Uh-oh. Yes, sir. But some really good things have happened. So Andrade has been picked up by AEW, which actually, surprisingly, I did not expect that because I already knew that he had a deal with AAA Wrestling, and I was thinking, all right, he's going to be the big man for that promotion and just go ahead and just dive back into it right from there. But he's got bigger options now. You know what I mean? He signed with AEW, but he's also going to be working. I'm guessing he's available to work with any promotion that he wants to, like, New Japan, and then of course, AAA as well. And then any other promotions out there as well, MLW, like whatever, the Dragon Gate title, like whatever is out there. Because there's so many different promotions that are out there now that are working with some of these bigger guys, and people really just love their promotions. And just love the work that some of these guys on the indies are doing. Because if you are a well-named, established, an established, you know, wrestler, you can make it out here. You don't need WWE's money. Like, I understand the money is good to have there. It is sometimes can be a sustainable thing, but like, look what just happened. Braun Strowman, you know, got released because his contract was too big. Like, if he can come back with a smaller contract, why the hell didn't you just restructure his deal from the jump? And you don't even have to release him. There's a better way to do this. You don't have to say, like, hey, we released him because of some money problems and stuff like that. Like, you can just go ahead and just restructure the deal if that's the case. A lot of people was giving him hell, too, because some comments that Braun Strowman had said, like, months ago, I guess. And I'm guessing months ago he had, you know, told a bunch of people, you know, like, there's no reason why you guys should have GoFundMe accounts and stuff like that. So that's the gist of some things that, like, people really did not like from him. They felt like he was being, you know, like, very, I guess, like, a little unnecessary, you know, towards people out there that, you know, that have been doing this. And I don't know, you can take that a lot of different ways. I mean, I feel bad for any female wrestler that has, you know, that has started doing some things that I've seen. Like, Jordynne Grace is a big talent over at Impact Wrestling, but she has a Patreon account and is doing, like, calendars. And it's not like you're not allowed to do modeling, but that's the thing. This is the extra money that you're making on the side to make your living, to pay your bills, to help with your full-time job. You know, as a wrestler, like, for some of them, they don't have insurance through the companies. They have to go out there and go get insurance themselves. And the insurance that they got to go get is fucking expensive. I didn't know that until a wrestler said something. And I was like, y'all know that the fans don't know these things. The fans only know what's giving to them and what's told. And I've been telling a lot of wrestlers lately, if there's some shit that we don't know and it's like a, like, you guys are judging me and y'all don't really understand the business. So, like, you have to, like, fucking say some shit. There's been a lot of hush-hush things on wrestling for years that, like, a lot of people don't know, you know, like, what really is what. Because wrestlers have said this for years. 2% is pretty much what every fan sees. You see 2% of what's going on, and the rest of that, you don't know what's going on. And that's true. But at the same time, that same code that has helped wrestling do what it's done is also responsible for, within wrestling, the Me Too movement that happened, where tons of women came out of the woodwork saying that this was done to them, saying that they went through this, and they were former wrestlers and they were just fans. And then some of them that weren't even fans at all. You know, they just had these run-ins with wrestlers. And these wrestlers, a lot of these guys, they were ruthless. And my buddy has even admitted to, like, yeah, like, these guys, man, they can be brutal. And I'm like, bro, you got to understand, that code ain't nothing to be fucking supporting. Like, we can't have this. Like, men in general, we gotta do better. I always say this because it really will fix things legitimately. In the long run, if men get our shit together and start, you know, saying, properly raising these young men, you know, saying, moving forward, we will be fine. As long as men know to, you know, saying, be respectful. Like, literally, why can't we have nice things, honestly? At the end of the day, like, why can't we have nice things? Like, I think it's... Like, I love wrestling. I think wrestling is dope. But why can't we have nice things? Like, why can't we have wrestling? And, like, why within the wrestling community, like, why can't it be a dope experience really for everybody? Because there's some guys out there that can tell you some horror stories in wrestling that what they pretty much had to go through just because they wanted to be a wrestler. And some guys like, well, I'm going to see if you really want to stick around. It's like, you know, like, I get it. Like, I get it, certain things have a tradition, but just some things are stupid. So it's just, you know, it irks me that, you know, when I find out some of these things is going on in code and all this stuff. But I guess stop backtracking here. Andrade got picked up, and I really just feel like things are going to, you know, things are going to be good for this kid, you know, for the guy. Like, literally, he is a really good talent. So, like, and his contract being what it is what makes this situation a lot bigger. I try to tell my friend this is bigger than just like AEW just gets another guy that came from WWE. It's just like, all right, this is another company within the US. Like, a lot of these guys are established in the US. Like, if they don't want to go to Japan, like, where do you want them necessarily to show like to show up? They're gonna, you know, they're gonna show up wherever the hell they choose to. If the contract sounds right, then that's why those guys went ahead and signed those contracts. Like, I don't get I don't get why some people are really not understanding that. But that's just what's gonna happen. The only thing that AEW needs to do is just not necessarily do what TNA did. And that was really, they just did a piss poor job of storylines and usage with a lot of the guys that they picked up from the WWE. Like, they were picking up old guys that necessarily wasn't actually coaching in the back. Hulk Hogan was not helping anybody in the fucking background. When he literally got picked up by TNA, like, Hulk Hogan was on the screen. Like, his face was on the screen. That's what he was used for. A lot of people need to understand that things are different with this here. AEW picked up Mark Henry and Big Show, not because they eventually want them to have, like, this, like, have them give a really big, you know, saying go. It's only because they, you know, saying they just want to, you know, saying allow these guys to teach the guys in the back. You have a lot of young talent at AEW, so why not pick up Mark Henry, the world's strongest man? Why not have the Big Show? These both, like, both of these big guys can help those big brutes back there that are young. You know, saying especially Henry. You know, saying that's a major opportunity to work with a guy like Mark Henry. Like, who's going to pass up on that? There's not that many that's going to pass up on that. And I keep telling people, when it comes to AEW, is that, like, the talent is green. So, you know, the sky's the limit for them. But, like, these veterans, man, like, that. It's only going to help. It's only going to help. It's not going to hurt to really have them around. It's really going to be nice. Yeah, I think it's going to be, it's going to be really good. All right, let's get a sponsor in here real quick. All right, man, right to it, man. MCU talk, man. Bro, no worries, man. We love talking about the MCU. Love talking about some things that's going on. I'm loving every show that's been pretty much presented to us, man. We had WandaVision to start out with, right to, Winter Soldier. Like, it's at this point, Just give me whatever they give me. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of stuff coming a lot of stuff they have in production right now. They got the movies going, but the Disney Plus shows that are going to keep the pretty much like the story going for us, like everything building up for the next Avengers movie. It's really meshing well. Like, they have a whole plan that's just set up, and it's just amazing to, like, literally just sit there and watch. And I think with everybody right now is talking about, like, how Loki, it starts on June 9th. Like, we're gonna get that. And just what we're gonna see is the thing that really intrigues me. They have so much, like, open. I'm not gonna say anything about mutants and all of that stuff. It's just, I'm just gonna enjoy what they give me. I've had to learn that pretty much the hard way with the last two you know, pretty much shows that we had, everybody kept saying, okay, one of them is going to give us an introduction to this. The other one's going to give us the introduction to this. And you know what? I'm not doing that no more. We're just going to enjoy what they give us. Cause like it's going to be a good time no matter what, no matter what it is, it's going to be a good time. I think they've really gone all the way out, pulling out all the stops that they can. And one of the big things to remember with the MCU is that it's the MCU really is its own thing. It really has transformed and turned into its own thing, and it's pretty fantastic what they've been able to do with it. Like somebody was saying in the comment section when I was on Twitter. Just the basics, you know, they didn't feel that the MCU really needs to use full on source material. And I was just baffled by that because I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, yes, you need to worry about, you know, what's going on in the comics. That way you can keep your source material updated. You need source material because no matter what happens, like you're going to enjoy what you're going to enjoy what you're seeing. That's what you need to. A lot of people need to remember. You're going to enjoy it because Disney, what they've done with Marvel and allowed Marvel to like just come up with these more realistic versions. Sometimes, I guess. Of certain people, and I guess now you can say that with Doctor Strange, they did, you know, they made a boo boo, when they chose to pick Tilda, I want to say Tilda Swinton, what the hell, I can't say her name properly, but they chose a white lady to replace the ancient one. An ancient one should have been Asian. You know, he always was, but they went ahead and they changed him. And I think they wanted to really make an impact by using her because she was a female. And they know that she's a strong kind of like female lead. Like she did not do any wrong by, you know, by taking a role. Like, look, you know, they do stuff like this all the time. She took the role and she did, you know, the best that she could do with the role. I didn't think she did anything wrong with the role, but at the end of the day, the culture that we live in now, like a lot of people were upset. Like, why did you go and change the ancient one's race? And why did you change him to this white lady? And Kevin Feige has already said, okay, I fucked up. We might have fucked up there. And that's, you know, you learn from this, you know. Like the only thing I asked for Disney to do with this, well, like just from now on, it's just like whatever decisions you make on stuff like this, like just I don't know, just think it through. Just think it the fuck through, you know, and don't force anything down anybody's throat. I'm 100% all for the inclusion of LGBTQ plus. Just do it organically. You know what I mean? Do it organically. Like, make sure that there is a character that was in the comics that was created for that single purpose, was so that they can have actual representation. Don't take a random character that already has plenty of stories. They've never had that kind of story. And then just change that character and say, okay, well, now we're going to make that character, we're going to make them trans. And it, like the backlash is gonna happen on both sides, because again, you don't want it to be forced, and that's a big thing with the MCU. You want to just make sure that it is not in any way, you know, shape or form forced. Don't force it down anybody's throat. Make sure that everyone enjoys the, you know, the material, and that's it. Because the inclusion is great, just make sure you do it right. Like I'm willing to see what is any of these studios out there, what are they going to do with Elliot Page? Elliot Page now is full has gotten the surgery done. He has got his chest chiseled, man. He's got some abs and stuff now. So who is going to work with Elliot Page? That's a good question. Can they, you know, say, is the MCU gonna talk to Elliot Page on playing a different character? Could we finally see something like that happen? Like, I'm interested in knowing like what Elliot Page has lined up, like, because like now, you know, saying he is full-on guy, so this is, you know, saying this is where we go from now. Like, let's see where, you know, saying his story goes. You know, could we see Elliot Page pick up a big role for a male, you know, saying character? It's gonna be great to see who's gonna do that, who's gonna bite the bullet. You know, saying is Elliot Page still gonna work with Netflix? Because that's a big one now. Like, what do you do with that character that was a female? Like, what do you do with that character? Like, it's interesting to see like what they're gonna do. Especially with, you know, saying like him, because like now Elliot Page now has a whole new life ahead of him. And the only thing that matters is that Elliot Page is smiling and is happy with the decisions and now his new life. Boy, was that an uproar on freaking Twitter when I seen that. And it was like, some people was just like, ah, and then, you know, others was just very supportive. And I'm different. I was 100% supportive. Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you, you know? Like, do you make, do what makes you happy. You know what I'm saying? You having fun out there. You're smiling. You're being you. Hey, do it. And obviously Elliot is ready because he out there working out. I was like, somebody about to get all the ladies. Elliot Page about to be Mr. Steal Your Girl, actually. That's what I'm starting to say. Like, Elliot Page is Mr. Steal Your Girl. I'm coming. So it would be interesting to see like what's going to go down the lines for that, because like there's room. There's just that there's room for a lot of growth and stuff like that with the MCU. But again, my thing is just make it an organic transition of just inclusion, and don't force things. Like my big thing is don't do with pretty much WB has done with this whole like black Superman thing. Where the fuck did that come from? Like, I'm still trying to figure that shit out. I don't remember sitting around saying, hey, man, you know, if y'all really want to change some things up, man, y'all should go and give us. Trying to get my mind right on what I'm thinking, what I'm actually trying to say about the MCU, what the show's got. Okay, so Loki has an opportunity to show us somebody, one of the versions of Kang the Conqueror. And this is something that I didn't fully follow, like Kang the Conqueror, but like I do love his back. The fact that there's just a lot of different variations of Kang the Conqueror. And apparently one of those versions, when he was an emperor, we're going to be able to see in Loki. I'm hoping that actually holds up and that's true, because I would actually like to see how that goes down, how that manifests, because apparently there's an opportunity for Kang the Conqueror to actually be one of the big baddies for us in this phase. We're going to see the first version of him in Ant-Man and Wasp, and I'm really intrigued on that. I'm really intrigued by that. I love the Ant-Man movies. Like I like what they have going on there. Scott Lang, and then doing the storyline with where Hank Pym is, you know, more of a mentor than, and he actually used to be the Ant-Man back in the day. He actually was. So it was good that he did exist. But I would like for them to kind of do something with that, you know, that team that existed back in the day. They need to actually do something with that. Whereas that means that if there were people that were doing superhero work back in the day, like the 70s, the, you know, say in the 60s, the 70s and whatnot, if you had this going on, like, what does that mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, what does that really mean? That opens up a lot of options for stuff to go on. And my big thing is the mutants. The mutants. Like, how do you add mutants to the MCU properly? What are we going to, like, how is this going to happen? You're saying all this stuff about how Brie Larson is, all this speculation when Brie Larson is going to be out of it. After the Marvels, like, we're going to see Rogue. That's been the one biggest speculation, is that Rogue shows up and she puts Ms. Marvel in a coma. I mean, I'm okay with that happening so that we have Rogue, but, like, what does that mean? That, like, still, what does that mean? Like, and I feel like that's not going to happen. I feel like they're not going to bite the bullet on Brie Larson and just get rid of her, because, like, first off, Brie Larson hasn't done anything wrong. I'm tired of the guys that have a problem with Brie Larson for a couple of different things that she said before. She's never said anything radical, like nothing over the top radical. It's nothing wrong with women getting included and being properly, respected in their field. What the fuck is wrong with that? Like, how are you bent out of shape over that? And her character being powerful, how are you upset? They're like, she wasn't in the movie that long. It doesn't matter. Like, they still had a plan for her. They did not. And if you call yourself an MCU fan, just understand this. If you call yourself a fan, there's really no reason for you to be upset about her being powerful. That's a good thing down the line. Like, that's really a good thing. It was great to, you know, saying, have her. It's just crazy when I see people bad mouthing her characters. Wow, that's just wild to me. Because, like, give me something if she's done something wrong and if something is bad, you know, saying, I get it. If it's bad, I get it. I can work with you. I can understand. But, like, when it's not, when that's not the issue, I'm not understanding the issue. But that's just how weird I am. Yo. So, and then going back to Kang, see, the reason why I'm interested in, like, what they're going to do with, like, Kang is because also another version of Kang the Conqueror is his younger version. His younger self becomes Iron Lad. That's the thing that's going to get me, Iron Lad. I mean, and there's so many things going on with that. Like, the one thing to know is that, like, with Iron Lad, Iron Lad is a younger version of Kang the Conqueror when he's young, and he doesn't have any idea of all the shit that he does when he gets older. He has no idea. He has no clue. But he really wants to, really wants to help, and really, you know, saying, fills the shoes as being Iron Lad, does an amazing job. Also, even, like, kind of leads a young Avengers team, the whole nine yards. And then something happens where he finds out everything that's happened as far as Kang the Conqueror with his older self. And there's only one way to fix this issue, and it involves him. It involves him pretty much being gone. So just a, I guess like a quick backstory on that is that like when he has to basically like sacrifice himself to like save the timelines and everything with, cause of his future self, what they did in order to kind of sort of create, well, actually not create, but recreate the Vision, Iron Lad left all of his combat and experience and everything that he just went through in his suit. Everything was left, all the memories, all of that stuff was left in his suit, and they used that to recreate Vision and give all of that to Vision, so Vision can now be, you know, saying, kind of like used again, utilized again. And I'm like, wow, okay, so that right there, go ahead and you can have Vision take a break or something like that, and you could eventually set this up in order to bring Vision back if you want to. Vision, I mean, we have a white Vision that's already in existence, and the crazy thing there is, like, you know, when are we going to see his version back again? Because he's got all the memories of the original Vision. So this might have been the MCU's way of going ahead and bringing him back. But see, now the question is, with Kang the Conqueror, what are they going to do? Are we going to see a younger version of Kang the Conqueror down the line? Because there's four versions of Kang. There's four different versions of him. So if, you know, we're going to see the one version of him that's already from the future down the line in MCU, or we're going to see a younger version of Kang the Conqueror that becomes Iron Lad, because that could really be insane. Man, I'm missing bad. I suck so bad at 2K. It's not even funny. And it don't help when you high as hell too. That shit don't never help. There we go. So, I wanted to also say, I guess like give like some ideas that I had organically for the MCU. I guess we could talk about that, because I've talked about this on Twitter before, and my ideas that I've had for how we could properly get mutants into the MCU. This is my idea. So let's hunker down and I'll tell you guys my idea. It's not even an amazing idea, but it is really, it's pretty good. So Captain Marvel, the way we get introduced to Captain Marvel is with her story is we go back to the 90s. And my thought process is, okay, using the past as a way to show us how someone has actually always been around is the perfect way for us to introduce mutants into the MCU. And what you can also do is, for their sake, if you wanted to include Apocalypse, you can say something really big happened way back when, at whatever time, and because of those events, that's why no one knows what mutants are right now. But you find out that there actually are people that know about mutants. It's just that no one else is supposed to know. So what you can do is you, just like Captain Marvel was done in the 90s, you choose a year slot, the 70s, the 80s. You can even go as far as back as the 60s. And I was thinking the 70s would actually be the perfect timing for you to go ahead and set up your Professor X and Magneto. You can already have them kind of like older, in their 40s, 50 years old, and that way you can actually get some really good actors to actually play both of those characters And they'll be established adults, not young adults, still trying to figure out themselves. You want to have a main core group of X-Men that already have existed. So I was thinking with the original team of the X-Men, like Iceman, Beast, of course, Professor X, I guess Jean Grey. If you want to, include like Wolverine, all of them, like you want to, like the core group of the X-Men, make them already exist in the MCU. Make them already exist. Make Weapon X already had been something that had happened. Weapon X was something that already had been attempted because of the, trying to find that, that serum and everything. Like, everything that they want to do, they can do from the source material. They can go ahead and look at all those X-Men comics. You have plenty of materials to use, but you can start piecing. You can start piecing the storylines, those different story arcs. You can piece that together and put that in the time slot of the 70s. You now have the 70s, the 80s, and you have the 90s. And now you got the early 2000s, and you got your later teens, 10s. Now you're here, present day. The MCU can be matched up, present day. How do we include mutants? The big snap. So my idea with the snap is that everybody was saying we could have mutants show up because of the snap. Well, we can go even further and say, yes, we're going to have mutants because of the snap, but they already existed, but something happened and there just wasn't any new mutants like showing up. So you can already say that mutants had already been around and had already existed. And there was a few of them that already were around. And they've had children and whatnot. But something happened and the gene went kind of like dormant. With the snap, you can say a big event happened and everything stopped. Mutants were, able to have babies and not worry about their kids coming out with their mutant powers. And you can say that after the snap, those 5 years went by. All of those people now have starting to show back up into the world. Saying you got billions of people that show back into the world. They now have this new government system that's set up to like help with all the people that, that came back. You got to see that with, with everything that happened in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and using that government setup right there. That's perfect because of the government's big involvement with all this stuff all around the world, how they've pissed off all of these people and they haven't been doing a proper job at helping people and stuff like that. You got to see that firsthand. And Falcon and the Winter Soldier. You have everything you need for your present day setup when you activate the mutants. The mutant gene can be reactivated now because all those people came back from the snap. And because they left and then they came back, you could just say something happened. Something that is unexplainable. Like 5 years. People were gone. They just vanished. And after 5 years goes by, all of those people show back up, reanimated. The mutant gene is officially back. You can say all of those kids that came back, you now have your new mutants. You can literally, you now can just go ahead and pick out and start bringing back, you can literally start, doing your new mutant series if you want to. Like it's just there. Using this, I think really using the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, using all of those three decades, is the perfect opportunity for you to go ahead and create your backstory for the mutants in the MCU. Cause I feel like I'm the only one that really liked how Captain Marvel filled the gap. she's been here this whole time, and she's been helping out in other parts around, saying around the universe, like not, just the, just the world. Like she's been out in galaxies helping out. So people were like pissed off because they're like, oh, she hasn't been around. She's doing more. She's doing a lot more important shit around the world. So there's like, so the reasons that people are upset, they shouldn't be that goddamn upset about. I just think that's just a piss job, a piss poor job for anyone to be pissed off, because the character setup is the way that it is. There's just no reason for anybody to be upset about that. And I'm not saying for no one to have their opinion. It's just, it's unnecessary to not like her. Like she actually really is an amazing character. And she's being shown off well. Like the fact that she was not that powerful in the comics is what actually people should be praising, is the fact that like now that they showed her, they like kind of like gave her a boost, but it's a good boost. Everybody was like, oh, well, she didn't care when she was on set, just the way she acted. I'm like, what is wrong with her actions? Like literally she's different. She's not the same. She's got an extended version of amnesia. When you find out all this, like the way that they set the movie up, the only thing I guess I didn't like is that that wasn't Mar-Vell. Like they had a different version of Mar-Vell, and they changed it. They changed it to another woman. And I don't have a problem with them changing her to changing Mar-Vell into a woman. I would have just liked Mar-Vell to have actually been Captain Mar-Vell. And then, Sam gave the powers like he did. That would have been great. And I was thinking that Jude Law's character was going to be that, and that's not what happened. But even with that happening, I wasn't even pissed. Like the MCU is its own thing. And it's just sometimes they're gonna tweak storylines. And I guess they didn't want to do this affiliate thing of Captain Marvel was here and helping out and doing some stuff, and then something really crazy happened and he had to give his powers away, to Ms. Marvel. Like literally it makes my head hurt sometimes. It just people get upset about the dumbest thing. It wasn't that bad of a story. It wasn't that bad. It still ended up working out. She still was around. She ended up being able to come back for Endgame. So like I just don't get why people get pissed about things. But like, I've been pretty okay with the decision making of the MCU with certain things. And I think that one's just one of them. But like this idea that I have for the mutants would be really awesome if we seen them do something like that. Because I'm saying, if you try to, because I don't know how I feel right now about a brand new X-Men team that shows up in present day, and you're talking about the basics again. We're gonna see Beast. We're gonna see Ice, or we're gonna see like Beast, Iceman, Wolverine in the costume, actually in costume, which hopefully Disney makes sure that that happens. This time around, Wolverine does not need to be walking around the wife beater. You need to be walking around in costume, like actually be in costume. And I think that is going to happen if they pull the plug and do X-Men, if they get that down. But if you want to just do mutants, and there is a difference, like I'm not necessarily saying that they need to go ahead and make the team X-Men, but at least have mutants as a whole, like already exist, and have it to where you already have your Xavier, you already have your Magneto out there. Xavier, like have it to where Xavier already, he already exists and he made the school. And when we finally get to see them, the school's here in present day, and it's already there. It's already set up, and he's already been helping mutants over the years, and then you find out the backstory of the, you know, saying of the X-Men, the stuff that they went through, the things that they did, like do that and just fill the gap that way. Don't re-show us all over again some of the things that we've already seen when we got to, you know, have, you know, Fox's version of X-Men. I just want them to do it correctly. I don't want them to just kind of like just shove it in your face and like, oh, okay, yay, new X-Men team is here, and this doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, I want it to mesh well, and I just think that the 70s is the perfect start for your X-Men backstory and just your mutant inclusion into the MCU. That timeline of the 70s, just something happening and, you know, something like, and if you really want to do it correctly, I guess, like, involve, like, Apocalypse, you know, like, something happened and we have this gene that exists. There are mutants that are around. But something happened to the point where no one talked about mutants anymore. And just something, like, something big happened. If they do it right, you could do a series, a one-off series on Disney Plus if you wanted to save the money. Or you can do what Disney is usually going to do. They're going to be greedy, and they're going to milk up that money. You're going to soak it up. Because, like, if the movies are done right, you know, now Disney knows that they're going to make $1 billion off this movie. Like, no exaggeration. If the movie is good and the people want to see it, when it finally gets released, before they actually, you know, sell it on DVD and Blu-ray, it's already made them $1 billion. Like, you don't have to be that greedy. And that's just what Disney does. Like, that's the only thing bad I can say about Disney. Oh, just irks my soul. But, like, that's just my idea. I really just feel like using a past decade to come up with some kind of a story for them, you know, for mutants, sounds much better to, you know, bring them in. Because I don't know how I would feel about just a bunch of random mutants just showing up. Like, where have y'all been? Like, if they existed, if they already exist and they just showed up, like, there's going to be so many questions everybody's going to have. Everybody's going to be like, where the fuck have y'all been? And the crazy thing is you have this already with the Eternals. And I'm wondering if we have to wait on mutants until the next phase. That's the one thing that's going to scare me, is, are we going to have to wait until the next phase after this phase already for mutants to be included? Because that can be the game changer, is like, are we waiting for what happens with this story, with this phase, just to go ahead and do one for the mutants to, like, actually, you know, bring them in? Because I'm not going to lie, I just don't want a random fucking mutant that just show up in one of the new things, the new projects, and we're just not going to have any real, like, actual, like, setup. We're just going to have just random mutants that show up and go, like, here's my backstory. All right. What about the X-Men? Oh, we're going to put them together too. Like, why? Why? Excuse me. But I don't know. I just don't know. Like, maybe you guys could tell me, you know, come through the Twitch stream, man, and just tell me how y'all feel about that. So I want to say this in advance, man. Thank you so much to anybody, you know, that checks out the podcast. And again, man, I said, even if I got to do it by myself, man, we're going to keep these podcasts going and keep these ideas rolling off the head. So that was today's episode. I got to catch some Z's, man. But, I can't thank you enough if you do check out the podcast and, you know, show us some love and support. Just, you know, just tell people to check us out and, you know, listen anytime we we have something new for you guys, man. Just keep showing that love and that word of mouth. Also, I want to shout out to my daughter. Baby girl graduated this weekend. And so it's really been just a great time. She really had a fun time. And we just, me and her mom were just so proud of her. You know, she did a great job. Any of you guys out there that have graduates, congratulations. Class 2021, man. You know what I'm saying? Everybody did it, man. Congratulations to all you parents out there. Big shout out to my sister, Melinda, you know, my nephew Jeb. I love you, man. You did it, man. Big shout out to my brother, Jason, you did it, man. You got, Reagan. She awesome job, man. She did it. She finished college. Absolutely proud of you. Love you very much, and I know you're gonna conquer the world, man. I'm just extremely proud of my family and just everybody that's just doing it. There's nothing wrong with being smart. There's never gonna be a time that's ever a bad thing. So any of you youngsters out there that's listening, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing not cool about being smart and intelligent. Y'all got this, man. If y'all ever feel like an outsider, honestly, just for, just for being smart, just being intelligent, don't let nobody ever tell you otherwise, man. So again, congratulations, class 2021. You guys are going to conquer the world. All right. This is Nerd Rage Podcast. We love you. Thank you for the support. Again, tell everybody about us, and just keep checking out these episodes. Until the next one.